So your forms, a lender's lawyer, and that's what I am, a lender's lawyer, not embarrassed about it, okay? So I didn't have to go through a 12-step program, nothing. I'm not in denial, okay? And there are no amends, and there will be no amends doled out today. So I'm a lender's lawyer, so my forms are my money, and the correctness of my forms is very important. And as opposed to negotiating, the really important purchase and sale agreement, which pretty much goes away 2 months from now, my documents live on, okay? And we are now in the part of the real estate cycle that some of these loan documents I'm drafting that are gonna get signed may actually be read in 2 years by people just like maybe some people in this room trying to get out of what I was trying to get you to do. So it's important to have all the waivers, all the things correctly drafted, because if they're not, my client's gonna say, maybe we need to sue you because I think you've messed up. So this is how you could lose a client. So as Colette has on this first, working on forms is a lot like painting the Golden Gate Bridge. It really never ends, and when you think you're finished, that's when you're getting behind. So you have to, just keep working on it. Well, how do these mistakes and things happen? You have statutory changes that you're not aware of. For example, I don't know if any of y'all heard, but the UCC was amended in 2003. Okay, it was 15 years ago. I think it's gonna take. It's not a fad. So some of those things may need to actually get put into your loan documents. There are federal things that are done, the FinCEN and all the Patriot Act stuff. Those are all things that are needing to be put into the documents because of federal legislation. Case law is some of the stuff that Dick and Amanda said. One thing specifically today, which I'll mention, I have to think about whether to revise something related to one of those cases. Prior negotiation. Oftentimes we draft things, we'll take the deed of trust or the loan agreement from a prior deal. Right, and then we'll start revising that. Well, that prior deal probably got negotiated. Which version do you start with? And do I go back to the form? I don't know about that form. It's kind of outdated. And so the problem is over time, you start losing some provisions that got negotiated out, which didn't matter on that deal, but may generally matter on a lot of deals. So it's helpful to go through your forms on various topics. We say 10 items here. I think we have 21, okay? Aggie math. Okay, but it started out about 28, and about six or seven of them, I said, I don't want these in the paper because I really don't know if they're right. Okay, I'm not sure. So stay tuned. We're currently working on our webpage, and a few of our stuff are going to be posted onto it, and this is going to be one of them. So we kind of view this as an ongoing bucket of paint that you can use to paint your bridge from time to time. The other thing that's pretty helpful is, I'm sure a lot of y'all get phone calls to act as local counsel on loans or give opinions. And sometimes if it's, your classic, DUS loan or Fannie Mae or agency loan, they already have all the Texas provisions and they've added all those in, and sometimes they're current, okay? But every once in a while I'll get the one that says, and just fix it. Here's the one we used in North Carolina, and just make it work for Texas, okay? And I'll say, and you're paying me for this, right? And yes, okay, I know it's a big job, so I've tried to make it a lot smaller job, but charge it like it's a big job. I learned that from Dick White at Wednesday. So having a lot of the language that you'll see in here is language that you can just provide to them, put into the docs. It doesn't take a lot of brain work, which is perfect for me. Remember, Aggie, public education. So let's go through some of this. Colette, you want to start? Or?
Sure. So the first provision we're going to discuss is the Notice of Confidentiality Rights. So it was enacted in 2003, and it's required on the first page of any deed or deed of trust that transfers an interest in real property to or from an individual. So since it specifies it really only applies to individuals, it doesn't really apply to most commercial transactions. I think at the time it was enacted, attorneys went ahead and put it in all their deeds and deeds of trust just so they wouldn't have to really think about it a whole lot after that.
He didn't check my microphone. He didn't care.
I could hear you.
Shut mine off. I'm sorry. I'm just insecure up here.
So, as I was saying, I think that at the time it was enacted, people went ahead and put it on all deeds and deeds of trust. They wouldn't have to think about it again. They wouldn't have any issues with county clerks when they went to file them, you know, saying it didn't comply with the requirements. But as a result of that, there are a couple of things that may not be quite right anymore. So the notice is required to be in either bold or uppercase 12-point type. So I think most people put it in bold and uppercase, but if you ever change the font on your deed of trust to be 10-point, you might have included that. You know, just done a select all, made it all 10-point. So you might want to go back and make sure that that notice is still in 12-point type on all your documents. And then the text of the notice was changed in 2007. It used to say that you could remove or strike any of the following information, and now it says any or all. And then
so that's what we're paying the legislature to
right.
do, to add or all
very
into that
change.
Document.
Yeah. And it used to say that you could strike the information from this instrument, and now it says from any instrument that transfers an interest in real